This is File 26, Cycle 4. Today's date is October 16th, 2019. I am interviewing Mary Close Oppenheimer. She's going to talk about the Salisbury Forum, the Salisbury Affordable Housing Commission, and her artistic ability, and anything else she wants to talk about. But first, we'll start with the really difficult stuff. What is your name?
Mary Close Oppenheimer.
And how did you come to the area?
My husband bought our house in 1982. We met in 1984 and used the house as a weekend home for many years. We were living in New York at the time. And then we moved up to Lakeville in between 2001 and 2004 while we were doing a major reconstruction project on our house. So I've been a full-time resident since really 2003.
Wonderful. We're glad to have you. Very glad to have you. How did you get involved with the Salisbury Forum?
I knew a couple of people who were on the board, and one of them asked me if I'd be interested in joining them.
And you did.
I did, and we were big fans of the Forum. We loved their programs, and so I thought it would be very interesting and a nice way to contribute to our community.
How long were you on the board?
I got on the board, I think, in 2016.
And you became president in 2018.
Right.
They didn't let you languish, did they?
No.
Now, I did check the website, and I got the mission statement, which I'm going to quote, to bring expert speakers and documentary film that engage and inform people about topics in the news and in our minds, which I think is a wonderful mission statement. You became president in 2018. May I ask, who is your vice president?
Frank Fitzmaurice.
And your secretary?
Jeanette Weber.
And your treasurer?
Bill Littauer.
And there are 8 other board members?
Well, just brought in a new board member this month,
good,
Mike Duca, and we're hoping to bring in 2 more. We have interviews set up at the end of the month.
Wonderful. When do you meet?
We meet the second Monday of every month except for July.
Where do you meet?
We meet at Town Hall.
Do you have an advisory committee?
Yes, we have one that has been established and sort of faded, and we've reestablished it more recently, and there are about 10 people on it.
And what is the function?
The function of the advisory committee really is to give us ideas on speakers, potential contacts with speakers, to give us feedback on our programs if they have suggestions for improvement or new ideas for programs. At our last meeting, some people suggested some possible venues for a summer program, which we've considered, and finding a proper venue that's large enough and air-conditioned has been a serious challenge.
So, we live in New England.
Yeah.
And how do you get your speakers?
It's often friends of friends, people that the board members or advisory committee know. Sometimes we will see something interesting in the news or someone will mention a topic and we try to track down a speaker. For instance, a speaker coming up in May will be Kurt Anderson, who's published a book called Fantasyland. My husband and I listened to that as an audiobook and were very impressed by it, found the topic interesting and appropriate for the forum. So I went online and contacted his agent. So there's all different ways that we get speakers.
And the venues that you're using presently are which?
There are 3 venues, the Hotchkiss School, Salisbury School, and Housatonic Valley Regional High School's auditoriums.
All right. And how do you do your outreach? What are your various sources?
Outreach for
For
what?
Getting people to be aware of the Salisbury Forum.
Well, it's been changing over the years. More and more people are aware of it through emails. We always ask people for contact information at our forums, and so that is where the majority of people get the information. We put up posters in neighboring towns and in Salisbury announcing the talks and to remind people about them. I'm trying to think of them.
Do you use the Salisbury Sampler?
Salisbury Sampler and the Lakeville Journal.
And your website.
And we have a website.
Okay.
And a Facebook page now, which is quite new.
Good.
So we're hoping to increase people's awareness of that. Mm-hmm. And it's only been up and running for a few months, so it'll take some time to get followers on that.
All right. What are your future goals?
Our main goal is just to do what we do really well. And I think we have been having some great speakers. We have some terrific ones lined up. So that's really our goal. Because we're all volunteer, there's just so much that we can actually do. we may, in the future, look into seeing if any of our talks might be appropriate for radio, something like that. But mostly, we just want to keep on doing what we're doing really well.
Wonderful goal. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this portion before we go on? Things that I haven't asked you?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
I try to cover my bases. Now we're going on to the Salisbury Affordable Housing Commission,
okay.
Right? Okay. What is its purpose?
The commission is an advisory group for the town government. We do not build or manage housing. The sort of role of it is to help to facilitate housing organizations' programs and projects. So occasionally we get contacted about someone looking for affordable housing or someone who might need a little help with perhaps a new roof or maintenance kinds of things where they don't have the cash, but by helping them, it means they can stay in their home. But mostly we're here to help the Salisbury Housing Committee, which is a group that builds and manages rental housing, the Habitat for Humanity, which builds and helps people own their house, and also the Salisbury Housing Trust, which buys properties, holds onto the land and sells the house to people, enabling them to have the purchase price much lower than if they had to buy the land and the house together. And so those two organizations are geared toward house ownership, whereas the Housing Committee is geared toward rentals.
You did a wonderful job. I just want to connect that the Habitat for Humanity would be somebody like John Pogue. The Salisbury Housing Trust was started by Richard Dunham,
right,
and that's on Route 44, Dunham Drive.
They have properties outside of that, but they made a huge dent in our affordable housing by developing that road.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the Housing Committee takes care of Sarum Village and Faith Housing, and that was Ann Kremer at the head of it at one time.
She still is, although for health reasons,
yes.
She's having more difficulty. And Peter Haley now is head of that as well. I think they're co-presidents, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not certain about that.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a documentary that you're doing as a public service for the fire department and the ambulance. Would you tell me a little bit about that, please?
Well, we're very good friends with Donnie Reed, who had been the chief of the volunteer fire department. He's still very active. His father and his son are also members. And by knowing him for many years and getting to know his family, we became aware of the incredible contribution they make to our town and the personal commitment that they make in both, obviously, going to fires, but mm-hmm. also helping people who break their ankle on the Appalachian Trail, people who may be at risk of drowning in the Housatonic River, mm-hmm. going to automobile accidents and making sure that, if possible, people get out safely. And so there's all of those activities they do, but then there is also a huge amount of training that they go through.
Oh,
so
yes.
Every week, I think, they have some kind of training exercise. They have mm-hmm. meetings. They do fundraising, prime rib dinners, chicken dinners, pancake breakfasts, all those kinds of things. So we just have a tremendous appreciation for their contribution to our town, and think that a lot of people aren't aware of all this. We would not have been had we not been friends with Donnie's family. Mm-hmm. So we thought that a way we could help would be to do a very short documentary to really inform people about what's involved, what these volunteers do. Hopefully maybe they can use the documentary for fundraising. And a huge challenge all around the area is trying to recruit younger people, because there are fewer and fewer younger people in our communities around here. And so a lot of the volunteers are family members, as in Donnie's family, where it's one generation to the next. But they desperately need younger people. The average age is in their late 50s. So we're hoping that the film might also help with recruitment.
How long, time-wise, do you think the documentary would be?
We're aiming for 10 to 15 minutes. It's a lot of information to try to get into that amount of time, but hopefully we can. We want it short enough where people can, you know, just fit it into their lifestyles to watch it and make it available on YouTube, on people's websites, through a possible screening at the movie house, wherever in schools, churches, whoever wants to show it. As we kind of refined our idea, we got together with people from the two volunteer services and met with Guy Ravesi, who is head of the Northwest Connecticut Community Foundation.
Would you spell that one for me?
It's Guy, G-U-Y-R-O-V-E-Z-Z-I.
And he's head of?
He is head of the Northwest Connecticut Community Foundation.
In Torrington.
And we had originally gotten in touch with him in order to set up a structure for funding this that could be tax deductible. And when he heard about the idea, he said every town in this area could use the film. So the Community Foundation spoke about it and are going to produce a printed piece to complement the film, as long as just people from a couple of other towns are included to show that it's a county-wide issue, and so people in other towns can use the film and it's not just exclusively about Salisbury.
And when do you think it will be ready?
Well, I'm hoping by April 1st, 2020.
Good. Oh, that's a wonderful service project. It truly is, and I'm sure it's going to be very, very beneficial. Now we're going to go on to your artistic ability, which I find absolutely marvelous. Where did you receive your training?
I went to the College of New Rochelle and got a Bachelor of Fine Arts from them, but I would say most of my artistic training and ability has just been from doing the work. In college, I concentrated mostly in ceramics, which I fell in love with, but it was also an opportunity to try lots of different mediums, everything from printmaking and jewelry and painting, drawing, all the different aspects of the arts, although not photography and film. But when I was in high school, I took art classes. I always drew. And then when I got out of college, I had to make a living. I ended up in sales for a high-end framing company in New York City, whose clientele were museums and galleries and dealers, mostly decorators. And I met some people there who were artists and friends of the man who ran the showroom, and Aaron Schickler and David Levine. And Aaron was a preeminent portrait painter in America. He painted the portraits of the Kennedys and Reagans for the White House. And David Levine, although a wonderful painter, is mostly known as a caricaturist. And both of them, unfortunately, passed away in the last few years. But they, since the 1960s sometime, had organized a group. It started out as a class and ended up more as an artist co-op of people who shared a studio, hired models once a week, and drew from or painted from the models. And that kept my hand in the arts while I was working in sales. And then eventually at night I took courses at the School of Visual Arts in what was then Pace Ups and Mechanicals, and basic graphic design work. That's now all computer generated. And
where was that school? New York?
The School of Visual Arts in New York. Yeah, New York City. And I moved into New York right after college and lived there until I moved up here. And so that kept my hand in the arts. And then at one point I ended up getting a job at a design studio called Lukasiewicz Design.
Spell it,
L-U-K-A-S.
Wait, I can't do it that fast.
Yeah, L-U-K-A-S-I-E-W-I-C-Z. Which is still running and run by the children of the people I work for now. And with them, I started doing, working in the graphics area. Their primary client was Avon, the cosmetic company. And they used a lot of illustration in their packaging. And I was hired because I could draw.
Yeah.
So, although at the time I interviewed with them, I had just decided to leave my job in sales and had a couple of clients in doing little packaging designs. I didn't have a formal portfolio even at the time. But through someone I worked with, one of my clients in sales, was friendly with the owners of this design firm and called me up at home and said, I've never seen your artwork, but I've heard it's good and I can recommend you as a person. And my friends are looking for someone who can draw and who can, because they were losing jobs because they didn't have an illustrator. And so
And you define yourself as an illustrator?
Well, I started out doing a little illustration and then some of the working with typography and things like that. But as their clients got to know what I could do as an illustrator, mm-hmm. they got more and more work. So after a short period of time, that's all I did. I just did illustration. And then I worked for them for about 5.5 years and then went out freelance.
And where have you shown locally?
Locally at the White Gallery and also at the New Arts Gallery in Litchfield.
Which gallery?
New Arts.
Where is that located?
I'm not sure what's happening with it at the moment. In Litchfield on Maple Street.
Okay.
But then they moved. It had been in an old barn there. And I just have not kept in touch, so I don't know what the current status is.
I'll find out. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we close the interview?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.